B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock ya.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Mike Mussinelli Show. It's hockey night in Canada. Literally, yes. Hockey night in Canada and also in Philadelphia. The Flyers start their quest to the Cup. The lone team that has a chance to win a championship in this city. The team that's carrying the mail right now in this city, since we're all down everything else. Our loyalties collectively go in front of the TV set tonight as the Flyers start the Stanley Cup playoffs against a team they should handle. Now, having watched hockey for a lot of years, and you guys have watched hockey for a lot of years, there's a difference between a team in a regular season and a team that gets into the playoffs. The hockey players, more than anybody, have the ability to raise their level in a Stanley Cup playoff. Now, you saw last night where the better team had to go five overtimes before they disposed of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The only thing that can hurt the Flyers, they're a much better team, is whether the Canadians are capable of playing at that level. And I don't believe they are. They're just not potent enough. This is a sub-500 team that's not potent enough to carry the play for an entire series to forge an upset. So I'm pretty comfortable with saying the Flyers will win this series. But again, what happened last night, the Stanley Cup playoffs are just unpredictable. You never know. You can come out and play really hard, and the other team doesn't expect it. All of a sudden, they get back on their heels, and they have to survive by the skin of their teeth. And that's what Tampa Bay had to do last night. So that's the whole issue. Now, Flyer fans, this is your day. Game time, 8 o'clock tonight, and we will be watching this intently. The Stanley Cup playoffs, because we're all invested in anything that can result in a championship with the four major sports here. Let's talk about a couple other things too, because last night I had to touch on the Phillies, because I was watching the hockey game, but I was invested in the Phillies and they had to take the lead. I'm going, all right, they survived this game. And then Rhys Hoskins, Gene Segura, and Roman Quinn happened. And I'm looking at the game, and I'm formulating an opinion on what a good team is versus a mediocre team. The Phillies are a mediocre team. See, here's the difference. A good team has players that don't make mistakes like that. Now, it's hard to find eight players who are on the same page, but the good teams do. And if you remember 2008, Charlie Manuel could look into the heart of a player and figure out whether that player was about baseball or whether the guy was just, wasting time. And the Phillies have a couple guys that wasted time last night. And so when you stack those up, as a general manager or a manager, you have to look your guys in the eye and you have to make an informed value judgment on those guys, whether they have the heart to be a good team or not. Now, I don't want to overreact to a couple of mistakes, but it speaks to the mentality of a player when he makes a mistake like that. And I'm going to include the first baseman in this as well. Because that pop fly that would have gotten him out of the inning, right at pitcher's mound, should have been handled by the first baseman. Now, either the first baseman was too meek to take charge in that play, and Segura then got overzealous because he didn't hear anything, I don't know. I wasn't on the field. But I'm telling you that Segura, you already know how I feel about him. I don't believe he's a winning player. But in that situation, if he didn't hear anything, first of all, he's got to know that he's crossing the pitcher's mound. So that a winning player knows that he's going to cross the pitcher's mound and look at his feet instead of just charging over it. And all of a sudden, a hump trips you up, right? That's A. But Rhys Hoskins should be going, he's waving his hands. He's right under the path of the ball. Dude, take charge. Don't let that guy come across the mound. Let's go. And then Roman Quinn, listen. How many years have they been fiddle-faddling with Roman Quinn, right? They're in such denial about certain guys. Oh, it'll make us look bad if we get rid of this guy. So, but look what he does. He's fair. He can't play. He's not a starting player in his league. And last night he makes an error in judgment. If you're thinking about the game, the last thing you want to have happen is that ball skipping past you. It's the last thing. There's a man on base. Are you not figuring that out? I know you want to be a hero. There's a man on base. If I miss, We lose the lead. It's just guys that don't blend. You need guys that blend, and as a GM and a manager, you need to find guys that blend. And I'm not saying it's easy, but come on, man. You got to be done with certain players and move on. All right. I've been hearing a lot of things today. With Jason was on for Anthony today. I'm hearing a lot of we got to move Ben talk. And I want to get to the root of that with everybody. I want to make sure that it's not your frustration speaking. Because that's a dangerous thing. You know, you're talking about a young player. This town is so worried about guys who leave and become stars elsewhere. Right? But those guys were always past it here in Philadelphia. He's not past it. He's still a young, viable player in this city. You just don't give away a player with those kind of skills until you have to. And the point of where you have to is 2 years from right now. And I know you don't like to hear that. And I know you're reacting like Ben Simmons hasn't been all that for you yet. But you're just cutting off your nose to spite your face if you're in favor of getting rid of Ben Simmons. I want you to think real hard. And I want you to think how you would make your team better by trading a guy like Ben Simmons unless you get two players. And you're not going to get either one. And that's Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. So anything you do is lesser than what you have. So you got to explain to me why you would be willing to let that go at this particular time. Listen, the Sixers season is shot in the butt. All right. I know it. You know it. They're probably going to lose in the first round to Boston. And all I'm looking forward to is the future. Some kind of a future fresh air that comes through, whether it's in the form of a new coach and some savvy moves, and then we at least can go into next year with a little enthusiasm. I feel your pain here this season. This season has been shot to hell. We didn't expect it to be shot to hell, but it is, and we have to get used to it. But we can't look for culprits, because if you look for culprits, you're not doing the right thing. And right now, Ben Simmons is your culprit, and that's detrimental. That's all I'm saying. Now, again, if you can make the case that it would be a good thing, I'll listen to you. I'm going to be hard to convince, but I'll listen to you. All right. So tonight, Flyers hockey starts out. Guys, you're all fired up. Look at you. You're wearing the Anytime Anywhere t-shirts.
I'm fired up.
You got the black and orange. Your black and orange Anywhere Anytime t-shirt.
That's right.
That's right.
We haven't been as excited since the old Laviolette t-shirts. Which is another t-shirt that I preserved in my auxiliary closet.
Oh, you still have it?
The Labby face. What does it say? What was his saying?
what was it?
They gave out those t-shirts. It was the silhouetted the Laviolette.
With him.
Yeah. So this is the first move towards that because we're excited. The Laviolette team we thought could do something, right? And
that's
this
right.
team we think we could do something. So the marketing department is going down that avenue. I like it.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. And also, we learned from the Flyers that AV is a martini man.
Yes, he's James Bond.
Yes.
Yeah, he looks like, you know, a little Grey Goose, French vodka.
Yeah, yeah, I'm so much more in than I was. Yeah. I mean, I'm old as in,
martini.
But yeah.
Yeah, he looks like a martini dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're all excited about this. Lavio, was it Let's Go? Or what was it? Didn't say Let's Go. He had another one.
I don't remember.
I can't remember.
Some jam.
Jam. Was it the jam?
Get some jam in here. Or
jam?
Yeah, is it jam?
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that on the t-shirt. I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember the shirt.
I got it. It's still hanging. It's pristine. Because I never worn it. I just have it. I preserved it.
Oh, you never wore it?
No, I've never worn it. I don't wear those shirts. I just preserve them.
Right.
They're in a collection.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want to decrease the value.
Right. Smart thinking.
Exactly. All right. And guess what today is? It's General Knowledge Wednesday.
Oh, there we go.
It is General Knowledge Wednesday today, and it's presented by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who count on having the most accurate tools in their toolbox. When precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. Every caller that gets a question correct will receive, and this is every caller, the correct answer. You get a $100 gift card to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken. JaspersBackyard.com is how you get, this is a great place. Order, takeout, or delivery at Jasper's. Or if you feel like dining in their beautiful outdoor patio, you can reserve a table. All right, here are today's categories. We start with the general knowledge category. Then we go to Disney villains.
Ooh.
It's the villain in a Disney or Pixar animated movie. Nat, this is all about you.
Yeah, I would kill that category.
Valid answer, U.S. history. So these are answers. It's a multi-answer, but you can give me one valid answer to get this question correct.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And finally, the foods they ate.
Nice.
Just like James Bond.
Yes.
And the martini.
Right.
Shaken, not stirred.
Uh-huh.
So, animals, fictional characters, people, the foods they famously ate.
This is a fun one.
It'll be fun. So, you know, listen, we give away 30 today. That's $3,000.
Yeah.
Jasper says out.
Yeah.
What are the chances we give out 30?
0%.
Can we give out 10?
No.
We can't give out 10.
No? How many did we give out last year?
All right, I'll set an over-under number of 7, Tyrone.
Oh, we can get over 7.
Well, all right, we'll go over 7, but under 10?
Yeah, that's
what you're saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Two an hour.
All right, we'll see what happens. Flyer fans, handicap the game tonight. How you feeling about tonight? 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show continues on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
2 o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli Show on General Knowledge Wednesday, where we're giving out a $100 gift certificate to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken for any correct answer. I mean, you can't beat that deal. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line, Conklin Attention HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson's County location on North 7th Street, Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Let's start our Twitter poll for today. I think it's flyer-oriented. I'm sniffing a flyer question today. It's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you need a new mower or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup at their shop in Doylestown, PA. Nat, what do we have today?
Thanks, Mike. Over 150 votes on this one early. Who have you been most impressed with? 37% say AV, 17% say Kevin Hayes, 42% say Carter Hart, and then we did a write-in option. 4% said write-in, and somebody replied and said Scott Laughton. So
Lots. Oh, Lots has been no small piece for the Flyers, but well. The goalie always romances.
Yeah, so for sure.
Yeah, he's going to lead it. But to me, it's AV.
Yeah.
No question, it's Vigneault.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's been the coach, and then I'm very impressed with the young defense. Provorov, for example.
Oh, he's been great.
He'd be my right.
He's been great, but the second pairing has been exceptional. I didn't think that they would be that good. Sandheim and Phil Myers.
They've been great.
Really been.
And that's the only thing the coach is being cagey about.
Yeah.
That last pairing. Is Ghost in or not?
We shall see.
He's playing it. You got to watch to find out.
I'm saying yes tonight. I'm saying that he wants to start off, get the power play going.
He was really good again on Saturday. He was really good.
Yeah, I think he's going to play. All right, I found somebody sent it to me. It was an orange shirt with a kind of a black silhouetted Peter Laviolette growling and pointing like he used to do at the official. And it says, time for some jam.
That's right.
There it is.
And the 2012 playoffs Flyers. Now, Laviolette is an interesting story. Because he kind of resurrected him. 3 straight playoffs, he goes to 1 Stanley Cup final, and then the strike-shortened season, they were sub-500. So that got Mr. Owner's ire. He didn't like that, right, that they didn't go to the playoffs. Because there were people like me ripping them.
Right.
So Mr. Owner, who's got an explosive temper, waits 3 games into the following season before he zips him.
Yes.
And now here's the postscript to this. We were all gacked up about Laviolette. He had a great personality, and we thought he would make a great radio show.
He would have.
So yours truly had the Peter Laviolette show.
Yeah.
At Ponzio's in Cherry Hill. We did one show. The next week he got fired. Good night. Good night, everybody. One show.
Lobby.
No, I think that we tried to do the show there with, like, it was the Peter Laviolette show without Peter Laviolette. Yeah, because we had sold it.
Yeah.
And so I don't, at the sales department worked out some kind of compromise where I think we did it for 3 weeks and then we were out.
That's tough.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's like the Randall Cunningham show on TV when he became the backup. So I couldn't talk about the game. He was just Randall sitting up there.
Laviolette was a cool guy. I could push his buttons. He would bust my stones and I'd bust his stones.
Yeah.
He had a lot of personality. Yeah, he had a lot of personality. All right, let's go to the phones and talk to Ryan in Lumberton to start things off. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ryan?
So, before I get into why I called it, because I want to talk Phillies and Flyers today. Mm-hmm. So Laviolette wasn't like anywhere near as like an aggressive kind of guy as he seemed, you know, to the players. He was like the opposite of that.
Oh, he was a total aggressive guy to the players. That's what wore him out.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, you know, because, I mean, you obviously met him from what you just said. You know, his personality was, you know, what, the opposite of that when he was, you know, off the ice?
No. He was an aggressive guy. He just, off the ice, he was a funny guy, but he was still that same kind of personality. Yeah, he was a randy guy, you know? I mean, yeah. This type of guy, well, you saw all the sound bites. Heartsy, I need guys to rip their hearts out of their chest. You know,
they had
all kinds of sound bites with him.
Right, I just find that interesting that he'd be a funny guy because that's not the impression I would ever get from someone.
No, he
like
was
that,
funny. Though. He actually had a good personality off the ice.
Well, anyway, I called the talk. Like I said, Phillies and Flyers. I think the Flyers easily, you know, start off strong tonight. They win this game. I don't see. I think maybe they slip up and lose one game this series, but they should easily take care of them in five games or maybe just four. But as for the Phillies. I just the question that, you know, I want to ask, and that I guess is the question you've been asking for a long time. What is it that fuels the willful blindness of the general manager and the head coach? Or,
well, these,
you know,
these are guys that they
believe in, these people, well, who clearly don't have anything.
See, it's a great question. And I think, like, a guy like Segura, right now, he looks on the surface like a good player, but he was passed around to four teams. Now, if I'm a general manager, I want nothing to do with that guy because he somewhat performs, and yet teams can't wait to get rid of him. So that's I steer away from that type of guy. This is the way I would do it. Now, they somehow get conned into thinking that guys are going to change. Now, Roman Quinn has been in their system for how long? He's hurt every other week, and he's not that good. The only thing he does is run, really. So I go, I don't need him. He's not going to figure in my plan. You got to start looking at guys that really can fortify your team, that are game guys, and they don't seem to be able to recognize that.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's they hold on to, like, you know, it's you know, with four inning Vinny, whatever you call him, and Pivetta and all these guys,
because they don't want to look bad. Roman Quinn was produced by their system. Segura was acquired by their office. They don't want to look bad.
But doesn't it make them look worse that they can't admit that, hey, we got to move on and find somebody else? Doesn't it make them
look
worse?
Yeah, they don't look at it that way, though. They look at it like, we get rid of these guys, the fans are really going to doubt us, so let's play it all out.
Listen,
I'm agreeing with you. I don't understand how you can look at a guy for a consistent amount of years and still hope that it's going to be different. Guys are what they are.
Right.
You know, they're not going to change. If you don't have it, like, you can see it in a player. If you don't have it, then what are you fooling around for?
I totally agree. And I've been wondering that about this organization a long time now.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, man. Do you want a general knowledge question?
I do.
All right, let's start it off with general knowledge. What word that starts with a C means, quote, a group of witches?
Oh, man. Starts with a C?
Starts with a C.
First general knowledge question I got wrong, Mike. I don't know this.
Oh, sorry, man. It's coven.
Yes.
He didn't see the craft.
He did not.
Neve Campbell and Rachel Trump.
There you go. Coven.
Yeah.
All right. I thought that he would get that, but we're 0-1 so far. All right, let's go. Let's just for example. Like Charlie Manuel had a way of knowing. Now, that comes what from, it doesn't come from looking at numbers on a paper. It comes from when you, he was in baseball for a long time. And he saw guys that jaked it, saw guys that play hard. Saw guys that maybe didn't hit, but played hard. And that's, it believed in those type of guys. Now, listen, he was blessed with three of the best players in Philly's history. At their position, the best at their position, right? I get that. But then you look at a guy like Jason Worth, who had been, hurt his wrist, and he had been with a couple teams. But he sees in that guy something that digs hard, right? So he goes, okay, this guy could be somebody. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring another gamer and platoon him for a while until he figures it out, because he's going to be my guy. So he brought in Jeff Jenkins. Same type of, like, he read that. Now, he looks at Victorino, and he goes, well, he's a goof, but I got enough players in that clubhouse that'll out-goof him.
Right.
But so he figured all that stuff out and knew exactly what he had.
You're right. And then, and it's funny how it is, Victorino goes on and helps the Red Sox win a World Series, playing cut because he had something in his DNA that Charlie saw.
Exactly.
Because he's a Rule 5 guy, and they found something in him.
Correct.
It's not like he wasn't a high draft pick that was developed.
Yeah, now, I don't know from Joe Girardi. I mean, listen, he did a marvelous job with the Marlins, okay? And those guys were under, you know, they overachieved. The Yankees, I don't know, he set a lineup and watched it go. So I don't know, can he recognize? I'm hoping he can, but I don't think this front office can recognize. I really don't, because they keep floundering, and there's enough information out there for these guys to go, nah, not going to work with him.
Can you explain something to me?
Mm-hmm.
Haseley was the eighth pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. Whatever we think of, he was a first-round pick by this crop of people.
Yeah.
Quinn, you mentioned Quinn floundering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At some point, don't you pick a guy?
See, I think that's a Joe call, though.
You think that's a Joe call?
I think that's a Joe call on Roman Quinn. I think that Joe saw the value of having a speedy guy there. But I think Joe will soon figure out that he doesn't have what it takes to be a starter.
And if Haseley's not good enough, fine. But having guys in, out, in, out, in, mm-hmm. out, in, out, you're not going to find out whether or not the guy's good enough. Will you?
I think he knows something about Haseley. I think he knows that Haseley's a nice player, but not a starter. I really think that Joe Girardi knows that, because he wouldn't have started Roman Quinn to start the season. So he saw Haseley. Oh, he's a nice player. But like I said, he's a fourth outfielder who can help you in various ways in the outfield, but he's not a guy that's going to solve your problems either.
But Quinn?
No, they don't. It's like slim pickings here. I think that Joe Girardi looks at Quinn and go, well, he can give us something that Haseley can't, which is speed. I don't know. they're not good enough. Let's go to Gene in Doylestown. Gene, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gene.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
What's up, Gene?
I just wanted to, you took the thought and words out of my mouth. The front office of this team between McFarland and Klintak, I don't know if they're walking around with blinders on or what the deal is, but I am so disinterested at this point in what has basically become for me just a mockery of the baseball season. The refusal to acknowledge, well, they finally did. They bought up some arms. That's a good thing. Two words that might be able to help Joe Girardi with Roman Quinn. Jeff Stone. I don't know if you guys recall Jeff Stone, but he was super fast. You know, Phillies didn't want to get rid of him. Finally, you know, where's Jeff Stone today? I mean,
well, that's a long time ago. But see, Jeff Stone at least had minor league accomplishment, and they thought he was going to be a really good player based on that. I don't think Roman Quinn has had that.
Roman Quinn, to me, has been nothing but hype. Look how fast he is. Look how talented he is. He's this, he's that. But, again, if he's injured every other week, what difference does any of that make? And like you said...
Well, he hasn't been injured this year. He's not... Like what he did in center field was an early Victorino move. Like, Victorino kind of learned as he went. But that's the kind of play that he would normally make.
I mean, at that point in the ball game, I'm teaching my kids in Little League, keep the ball in front of you. Keep the ball in front of you. Don't let it get past you.
But it's more than that. it's like you got to read a situation. Like the baseball, you have so much time to think. Like you should be replaying the situation in your mind. Like Roman Quinn's got to think, all right, unless I can really get it, I can't let this get by me. I mean, that's before he hits the ball to you. You got to have that figured out. You can't just react. You got to know.
And you know what's so frustrating is I was watching the game last night, and early in the game, I'm thinking, oh, look at the Phillies playing heads up ball, good base running by Jay Bruce, hitting and running with the next batter, you know, developing a run there with Haseley scoring from first.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, you know, good heads up. Yeah.
And they gave it all away.
That changed in the course of 8 days. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, Gene, the $100 gift card's at stake here. All right. Disney villains.
Oh.
I'm going to give you the name of a villain. You give me the movie. Let's go with Ursula.
Ursula was from The Little Mermaid.
That is correct. Hold on, Gene. It was the sea witch, wasn't it?
Yes.
The sea witch was Ursula.
Who I think was the good guy in the movie in hindsight.
Why?
Everything she said was right.
About what? She took away her voice.
Squid verse, she going up there on land with sea people. Like, what she doing with sea people? I think that she was the good guy in hindsight in that movie.
She was wicked.
She was not.
Pirate twisted.
Why she got to go on land? Because a mermaid. She lived in the sea.
She was so jealous of Ariel.
Nah.
And that Ariel was going to become a princess.
Why you
got
to go on land? She was in love.
Yeah, so? You're a sea person.
She saved
us in love with a shark? What? Like, nah. She was right.
She was right. She was jealous, and she tried to steal him from her.
What about Daryl Hannah and Tom Hanks at Splash?
Also thought, this is out of bounds.
You can't control love.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't. You can't control love. When it hits, it hits.
Come on, man.
It doesn't matter if you see or land.
It does matter.
That's right. See or land.
Come on. See or land.
I honestly think Ursula was not a villain.
That's twisted.
Most Disney villains are very clear. Yeah, like Scar is a villain.
It's twisted.
It's
twisted. Because she was going to marry the prince in disguise.
Yeah, she was manipulative.
Come on, dude.
Yeah, she's trying to save the
evil.
Thing. Then she says, see, look at your boy. Get back to the sea. Let's get the sea straight first and then worry about land. We got issues down here to worry about.
You know, she reminded me of Ursula.
Who?
The chef on the Food Network.
Who?
What's that? The woman's name. She has her own show. Sometimes she's blonde,
with the crazy hair.
Yeah,
Paula Deen.
No. Crazy, younger. Crazy hair, sticking up, bleached, shaved.
Yeah, I know
what
you're talking about.
What is her name? She reminds me of Ursula.
No,
she hosts the world's worst cooks. Or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, the world's worst cooks. That's exactly what her show is, and she can be nasty at times.
Yes.
To take a word that the president uses a lot.
Her name is,
what is
her name? I forget it. It's not coming up, even though I did the show.
Really, what is her name? Does she remind you of Ursula?
I don't even know who you're talking about. I'm trying to figure it out.
I'm trying to think.
Let me see.
Amber-El.
Oh.
Amber-El. Yeah. Does she remind you of Ursula?
I can see it.
She's Ursula.
Yeah, I can see it.
All right. Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Greg?
That was a pretty good discussion there. Hey, I think the Flyers have the perfect chemistry for playoffs. They don't have any superstars, so at least, you know, guys like Gretzky types. So, you know, everybody is looking to contribute. And they're not looking to defer to, you know, the hot shot. And everybody has been chipping in. You know, it's amazing, really, when you think about the breadth of their talent and contributions.
There is no question about that. Now, here's the thing that I've tried to provide some balance to, because the playoffs are completely different. And, you know, we admired the way the Flyers kept going. But there was always this other side. Well, you know, those other teams aren't playing hard. They're saving for the playoffs. Now, last night, a team that should lose the series took that other heavily favored team to five overtimes.
Wow.
So they pick up a level. These hockey players pick up a level where you can't really predict. Now, the Flyers, I think, are good enough to wear this team down, no matter if they come out with energy or what. The Flyers will win this series. But I'm saying, like, you can't judge Montreal as the sub-500 team right now, because the Stanley Cup playoffs, they wake up and they go, oh, we're number one seed. We're big and bad. You know?
Right.
We can outwork the other team.
Sure. Well, you know, the thing about hockey is all you need, you know, is a couple of bad bounces and crazy goals, and it can really mess up your whole game.
Yeah, but not in the playoffs. The playoffs aren't about flukes. The playoffs are about outworking the other team. Flyers are going to have to, like, it'll be interesting to see how hard they come out. Because Columbus team came out hard.
Right. Yeah, well, they have young enough guys. I mean, they should have good legs.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. We'll see how this goalie, again, is still untested in the playoffs. He's played, you know, he's been good. Now playoff pressure is a little different.
Yeah, I hope he seems like a cool cucumber, so I don't know.
We'll see.
Find out soon enough.
Yes, we will. I think it helps him that it's a neutral site. But all right, here we go. Valid answer, U.S. history, $100 gift card to Jasper's Backyard in Conshohocken.
All right.
Give me one of the three oldest U.S. state capitals. Just asking for one of the three oldest United States state capitals.
Well, Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's not a state capital, bro. You're out. Sorry. Philadelphia is not the state capital, but I do believe he was thinking the right way, going like Revolutionary War type of time. So on that note, what would be one of the three oldest state capitals?
Dover.
No.
All righty.
Wait, Trenton. Is Trenton one of them?
No.
It's Virginia. What's the capital of Virginia?
Missing an obvious one.
Washington, D.C.
Nope.
No, because
Harrisburg?
No, Harrisburg's too far.
Where was the Tea Party? Where was Paul Revere riding?
Oh, Boston.
That is correct. Boston.
That's one. What's the other one?
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
What?
Yeah, well, ask me why. And Albany, New York.
Weird.
It's a tough question.
New Mexico.
Boston is the only one that's easy to get there.
When did New Mexico become a state?
I don't know.
That doesn't make sense.
You have to do some research on that.
No. Three oldest state
capitals.
There's Santa Fe,
Albany, and Boston.
Wasn't New Mexico after Texas?
New Mexico doesn't make sense. New Mexico's late to the party. You questioning my source?
I mean, kind of.
Well, I can tell you that's the answer. So if you want to check my work, you can have at it.
Where's my red pen?
It was a territory until, looks like 1912.
Well,
the Battle of 1912, right? That thing, that time.
It was the 47th state.
Is the highest and oldest capital in the U.S., founded between 1607 and 1610. It is America's second oldest city. It achieved statehood in 1912.
Yeah, so how's it? It wasn't a city in America until 1912.
I don't know, and I'm just saying
because it wasn't in America. It was just in New Mexico. Like you weren't part of us.
New Mexico wasn't even New Mexico
under Juan de Oñate and his son. The capital of the province was the settlement of San Juan de los Caballeros, north of Santa Fe, near modern Oquawinga Pueblo. In 1610, he designated it as the capital of the province, which it has almost constantly remained, making it the oldest state capital in the United States. I don't know how it's described at that, but I'm just reading what it is.
I got you.
That doesn't make any sense.
But that was a extra tough question because it wasn't
even Boston
state.
Wasn't that tough. I only asked for one.
Right, but Trenton has to be, and as far as the original states, Trenton was there from minute number one.
Look at this. Alex Trebek is getting questioned. It's unbelievable.
I mean,
Alex could go right to a commercial.
Before Alex got sick, and let's hope that Alex recovers, I always thought he was a little too smug with his little answer key.
He could be a a little smarmy.
Yeah, but now let's
just...
Is
that what you're saying? I'm a little smug because I have the answer key?
No, not you.
Talk about Alex. Mr. Trebek, who we love.
Yeah, I know.
There's times where he's like, no, the answer is, yeah, like it's easy for you to know with the car.
Right now, you're coming strong at the moderator. Coming strong at him.
Well, it's just,
I didn't invent the question.
It's just a little flawed, that's all. Questioning.
Technically, apparently, it's not flawed.
There's $100 to Jasper's backyard on the line here.
Take it very seriously.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is 2:46, Mike Missinelli Show. Hockey night tonight. Flyers game one versus the Montreal Canadiens. Now, the Canadiens are a young team, but they're not a very potent team. So we'll see what kind of opposition they provide to the Flyers. Their first line is very young. They're two really young guys. And it's Nick Suzuki is their first line center. And Tomas Tatar, a Slovakian. Now, they both of those guys, they got in a trade for one of my favorite Canadians, Max Pacioretty, traded to the Golden Knights for those two guys. And they became first-line guys. But they're like 21, both of them.
Very young guys.
Yeah, they're very young. And the right wing on their first line is Brandon Gallagher. He's been with the Canadiens for a while. So, I don't know. I think a young line, the way the Flyers' first line is playing, I think that first line will be all over these guys.
I agree with you. One thing I'm concerned about, you mentioned, if the Flyers have to come out and, I think, get a lead. Because too much free hockey going on. There's more currently overtime stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to get, because I'm thinking big about possibly winning the cup. I want them to get through as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as healthy as possible and playing extra time. I want to get a lead and just go to work.
By the way, Carolina and Boston are in the second overtime.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't want you messing around.
These are the teams that were sent home last night. Now, you imagine you show up at the rink, right? First game's at 3. Now, when do they make the call to send them home? Because if you're in overtime, the game can end any time. Like, when do they, like, at the moment they go, all right, why don't you guys go home? Suppose the goal was scored to win the game. Then what?
I think they felt like because the ice was chewed up, they wouldn't have had enough time to get it together.
Right.
They needed a full night to get
but
the
still,
ice
how
together.
Long did you think they would wait? Like, when did they tell them? Second overtime?
I thought it
third
was.
Third overtime? Like,
I
when did
thought
when
it
you
was
say?
The that's second
the risky
overtime.
Move to send those guys back home. Their biological clock's all messed up. They're sent home. They go get some sleep. Breakfast tomorrow, 6:30. You know, like,
yeah.
That's tough.
Really tough. And now they got to play extra hockey, and who knows why they. That's why for the Flyers, you got an 8 o'clock game. You go out there, you win 3-1, you go home.
Yep.
Don't mess around. Don't keep them in it. 3-1, go home, and then let's get to the next game on Friday.
Correct. All right, let's go to Jerome in Elkins Park. What's up, Jerome?
That's what this place is about. I mean, you don't have sports, you learn other things. How you doing, group?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. I enjoyed a little bit of yesterday's game. As far as the Sixers, because, you know, I seen things to keep me interested. I mean, I, you know, didn't like feeding into the fact, oh, they're going to lose just before they even started. But it seemed as though what with the people that were playing there, they assisted each other in a lot of ways, people who hadn't played. And I think that means something in the fact that, you know, just done this lay down. Now, I didn't understand why Scott would play as well as he did and then get no more minutes. Maybe Brett didn't really want to win the game from the get-go. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Well, they have decided that it doesn't matter if they win, that they're going to get the sixth seed. So it's more important to them to preserve their guys than to go out and win. I mean, it's,
okay.
Yeah, that's the decision that they made.
All right. Well, I mean, I hope Simmons gets healthy. And I mean, healthy enough where that within a year, I start looking around. I mean, I'm a patient person.
Well, so next year, what? You're evaluating him next year, and if he doesn't shoot, you're done with him?
If it all depends. If they get another, they need another new voice as far as the head coach.
Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with you.
And, you know, I don't go into pushing people to lose their job, but I think it is what it is. 7 years, we still don't know what kind of coach he is or how good he is. But he's been outcoached in the playoffs. So, I mean, and it's the same thing. I don't see where a player who is a number one player comes in and then he has to learn how to take and be effective for being a number one pick. You know? I mean, when the Greek Freak came in, I hear people go, give him the ball. I need to have the ball. Well, you know what? He should have been down there being a point forward or whatever position name you want to give it to make him close to a position where he utilizes his ability.
You must have, like, your frame of reference is out. Because Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't come into the league and was a star right away. It took him a while.
But
he's 25 now.
Thing was, that time spent was developed.
Okay, he's developed. He's 25. Now he's at the top of this is his sixth year in the league.
But
seventh year in the league, actually.
Mike.
He says the seventh year in the league. Now, if Ben Simmons is 7 years in, then you have a valid comparison.
Mike,
what?
He got there. They have somewhat similar skills. People talked about the fact that he's supposed to be the next Magic Johnson. But first off, the Sixers don't have shooters that he can pass it to. And then he doesn't take and be aggressive enough.
Disagreeing with you, but you made the comparison to Giannis as if it's magic, that everybody else gets their high picks and they flourish right away. They don't. They really don't. You know, a couple of them have. Now, I'm not making excuses because I'm exasperated with the fact that he doesn't shoot either. But Giannis Antetokounmpo didn't average 20 points until his fourth year in the league. And now he's at the top of his game. So this is what I'm saying. You don't give up on a young star caliber player. If he's 26, then you got enough information. But if you're only going to get rid of him, you're doing it for spite. And that never works because you don't get value. 610-632-0975. General Knowledge Wednesday. $100 gift certificate for a correct answer. All you got to do is get a correct answer. You get Jasper's Backyard, $100. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.